Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Yeah. This is the third time, so maybe I get it right. And like I said over at All Saints, Father Morgan's preaching is going to be short and it's going to be to the point. No, it's not. So give that up. 15 days, I was saying 15 days till Christmas, and I got corrected, it's 14 days till Christmas. you know, somebody who points out the technicalities of things, just to keep me honest. You know, the cards are slipping, that's why.
Somebody's got to keep you
on. Somebody. Yeah, I'm excited about this time of the year. For me, it's an anticipation. Something great's happening. And in fact, I got my first gift. And I got the same gift for you all. And when you look in it, you'll see the gift. You know, but here's the deal. I'm going to pass it around to everybody, but you're going to take a look in it, and you're going to close it, but you're not going to let the person next to you see it. And then later on, we'll talk about this gift. It's fabulous. And we'll start over here. Now, you can't tell anybody what's in the gift. So, and then you just pass it on to somebody else. You know, there's a period of time which 500 years God didn't speak to his people, approximately. And they were waiting, you know, and Isaiah said that out of the wilderness will come a voice crying out to make way, that something great and big is going to happen. And sure enough, after 500 years, John comes out of the wilderness and he starts preaching and baptizing. Now, you know, John is a fashion plate model. You got to understand, he's coming out with the latest trends of camel hair. I mean, he is the latest trend from high society that's located in the exotic spots where the Essenes are, you know, and he's got a handcrafted leather belt that goes with his new tailored camel hair suit. And he's eating exotic appetizers of locusts dribbled with honey. I mean, this man is a fashion plate personified, like nobody's business. Yeah. John came, and the Jews preaching baptism and talking about Isaiah's prophecy. It didn't take long for the people to add two and two together and think that something was coming up and was going to get good. It was an easy connection. You see, John from the wilderness coming in, calling people to come back to the wilderness, that same relationship they had with God the Father in the wilderness, where God was the shepherd. He led his flock. He protected them. He pastored them. He fed them. And John is calling them back to that kind of a relationship. And in the process of calling them back, he says, you know, there's some things that you need to do. He says, you need to repent. You confess your sins, repent, and then be baptized. Well, I got to thinking about that. You know, confession has got two parts. Did you know that? Confession's got two parts. The first part is the act of giving up what your sin is, what your fault is. If you don't like the word sin, we'll use fault. But the three-letter word sin sure seems to work. So you have to admit that you got this problem, and now you have to give it up. And the second part of confession is receiving. Well, that's receiving the absolution that is from God, and it's proclaimed by the priest. And you realize it's God's absolution, act of forgiveness. We're just here to proclaim it on his behalf. So there's two parts. But in this call that we're talking about to confession, to repentance and confession, we have to realize that giving up is more than just our transgressions against God. We know that it's our transgressions against each other, but it's also about our transgressions against who we are. As a father, as a husband, a brother, a son, a priest, you've sinned against those positions at some point in time. A wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister. We've sinned against that point of ourselves at some time. Need to give that up and accept God's forgiveness. Now, baptism with water is kind of a symbol, but it's much more than a symbol. Because it is for us the act of dying and beating the devil to pieces in the same process. Because in the prayer book, it'll say, do you agree to give up all of the wily ways, my words, wily ways of the world and to follow God daily? See, it's assumed in there and it's not printed, but it's there, trust me. Do you daily give these up? And then they ask for a response, and it says, yes, I, with God's help, will daily give up the wily ways of the world, my sins and my transgressions. So baptism is not a destination. It's the beginning of a journey. Now, the other thing is, baptism is for believers only. Non-believers don't get it. Baptism and belief go together. Much like the old song, Love and Marriage, goes together like a horse and carriage. Well, I had Francis over at All Saints this morning play that for me. I did not ask Father Jim to play it because he's too young to remember it. Yeah. But it does. Yeah, baptism and belief go hand in hand together. And you're not going to get one without the other. It's an act of renewal. A renewal of relationships with God. And then John goes along and he says, now wait, 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 wait. He's behind door number two. There is another surprise. You think it was The Price is Right the way he's going on. But he says behind door number two is there is going to be somebody else who's going to come along who's far greater than I am. And while I baptize with water, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit of fire. And he's so great that I don't deserve to undo the sandals on his feet. Now, the act of undoing sandals on somebody's feet was that of a disciple to a master. So that is very symbolic. That John, who is a disciple, doesn't feel worthy enough to undo the straps of the master. So something big is happening here. And the guy that's coming along is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of the things you need to know about the Holy Spirit is you don't want to mess with him. Jesus says you can badmouth me. You can badmouth the Father. But don't you badmouth the Holy Spirit, because there's no forgiveness there. And we talk about the church being forgiving and loving and everything. And the Holy Spirit doesn't take care of that. He says, Holy Spirit comes into your life, you're not going to do it anyhow, so it doesn't matter. But you need to know that the Holy Spirit is not one to be discounted. I wish they'd told me that in seminary. I would have learned a whole lot of things a whole lot faster if I'd known that. I'm a little bit slow. No, Rob, you do not have to make a comment. Thank you very much. But the Holy Spirit comes along and He gives you gifts. He gives you the gift of life, of tongues, of hearing, of listening. Those are the big ones, are not the tongues. The big ones are hearing and listening. Those are wonderful gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. He gives you insight. You become intelligent and wise. Now, He's still working on me for the wisdom routine, but you know, I'm holding out. Someday I'm going to make it. You know, but He's got a long road to hoe with me. You know. You see, the Holy Spirit will speak for you for those moments when you can't form the words. When you can't form the words and your body aches and your soul aches and you can't form the words, the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. And He will make the words a petition on your behalf to God the Father. The Holy Spirit is life. And life in abundance. Yeah. He'll clean you up and make you presentable. Yeah. It's like, what, 2 weeks ago we talked about the goat and the sheep. And we said the goat and the sheep are all in the church. And the goat and sheep all stink. The only difference is the sheep know they stink and they've got a deodorant, Jesus, and they use Him. And the goats, well, they know about the deodorant, but they won't accept Him. So they won't use Christ. They won't accept Him. You know, they won't allow the Holy Spirit into their life. So the fact that the goats are one side, God didn't put them there. They put themselves there. We need to remember, our life is a life of believers. And that we look forward to the Holy Spirit being involved in our lives. Because you remember, historically in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only comes to few select people. Just a few select. And most of those guys were called prophets. You know? But you see, the problem with a prophet, life expectancy is short. They usually wind up losing their heads or getting thrown away in the jail and forgotten and starving to death. So it was, personally, I don't think I would have liked being a prophet. I don't think it's so great today either, because you're still in danger of losing your head. You know? But the difference is today, all of us have the Holy Spirit within us, and we are called to prophesy. We are called to speak the Word of God. And we're called to do it into people's lives. Loving and kind. So John, who comes in from the wilderness, makes these big announcements, and the people are getting excited because God is speaking. He's going to do something great. Which leads me back to the gift that was passing around. Did you all get the gift? Did you figure it out yet? You figure out the gift? You can't answer. Mostly because I don't want to hear from him. You know. Because he'd give me a big theological thing. And we'd never understand it. This is the only way I get back at him, folks. I'm going to tell you what the gift is. The greatest gift in the world, it's love. Love. It'll fit in this box, but yet it won't. Love won't fit in this box, but it does. Just like love will fit in your life. Once you open the box up and let it in. Yeah. That's the good news. God is doing something great. He's doing it. You know? And how do I know that love's so good? What do we say in the comfortable words? God so loved the world that
He gave His only begotten Son, that who believed in Him would have everlasting life.
That He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him should have everlasting life. Is that love? Yeah. So when we say Christmas is only 14 days away, and we celebrate the gift of love that comes in the form of the baby, and the baby that is called Emmanuel, Christ, God with us, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know, I hear that hallelujah chorus from the Messiah. I don't know about y'all. I hear it, and I guarantee you, tears are going to roll down my face because it is so magnificent, and what God has done for us through Jesus Christ is so magnificent. And the Holy Spirit in our lives, all of us now have the Holy Spirit, is so magnificent that this is the time of the season to be giving thanks beyond our capabilities. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks for the gift that You've given us, the gift of redemption and the gift of eternal life, the gift of Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for the love that You have of Your creation, that You would invest Yourself in us, that we may be heirs in Your eternal kingdom now and forever. In Christ's name, amen.